It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night right here on a Wednesday. 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. And also, you can find us on the 101.3 ESPN app, and you can find us on your Amazon Alexa or your Echo Dot as well. Just ask Alexa to find, to stream WCPV. So my brother listens on Alexa almost every day, as do my parents. So they say it works great. So I've listened to a bunch of stuff on Alexa as well. So we've started using Alexa a lot here at our station. Let's see if we can go out to Alexa. Alexa, who won the Red Sox Yankees last night? Alexa, who won the Red Sox game? All right, something's not plugged in, right? Somebody unplug something. Alexa works. She's talking. She's just not coming over the air. So that one didn't work out as well as I had hoped. Sox Yankees, 6:25 today. We will have that coverage for you. David Price against Masahiro Tanaka. We'll give you those lineups in about 15 minutes. What's coming up on the show today? Theo McDowell, Essex Junction native, former South Burlington High School standout baseball player. He just committed to play his ball at West Virginia in college. We'll tell you what he's been up to since he left South Burlington High School. We'll talk with him in about 6 minutes from now. But first, I read a fascinating story about the Red Sox and what they're doing analytically this year. And this story in particular was on their use of the defensive shift. This is amazing stuff. I love analytics. I have long been a proponent of just giving teams and players as much information as possible. The Boston Red Sox, in their use of defensive shifts, they have a former Navy veteran, not a Navy baseball player, a former Navy veteran who is in charge of their analytics department. He's in their front office, and basically they are developing a different defensive position for every single player, for every single opposing batter, for every single Red Sox pitcher. So, I mean, let's just take Xander Bogaerts at shortstop. If Mike Trout is up against Chris Sale, they've got a spot for him. If Mike Trout is up against David Price, they've got a spot for him. And it changes. It's not just, oh, a lefty's pitching for us, so we're going to play over here. They have got it down to a science, a calculated science, as to where they are going to position themselves for every opponent, for every individual pitcher. You will see Red Sox players, look at some point during the game, if the camera angle is ever on it, you will see Red Sox players who have an index card in their pocket that has for them every opposing player and where they should stand for each pitcher the Red Sox have. This is fascinating stuff. And maybe it sounds dweeby or nerdy, but it's fascinating. Look for it during the game. I know I am going to now. I love what the Red Sox are doing, and I love that they are trying to give their players every tool in the toolbox to be successful. And also for Alex Cora and his coaching staff, they no longer have to, go over the minutia. They don't have to sit and go over spray charts all day long. I remember as a coach, we would have spray charts and say, well, here's where this guy, and when I was in college, I would sit next to our coach, and we would show the spray charts and say, okay, this is where he hit it against us as a freshman, as a sophomore, as a junior, as a senior. And we would see, we would have 20 at-bats calculated and say, well, he likes the left side of the field. Well, he likes the right side of the field. They have thousands of at-bats, I imagine, chronicled in their computer systems against all kinds of different pitchers. And they know exactly where they're going to position themselves. This is fascinating. And for people who say, well, you're ruining, you're taking out the human element of baseball, the Red Sox, Alex Cora, have said they are accounting for that too. I mean, look, if a hitter has an injury, then that changes up where they're going to play. If a pitcher has an injury or is throwing slower than he once did, then that can be accounted for. It's very, very fascinating. It's very, very high level. I like it because, it is more tools in the toolbox for a team to be successful. It takes the guesswork out of the players. It takes the guesswork away from Alex Cora and from his coaching staff. They're allowed to focus on in-game coaching minutia more than going over scouting minutia. Everything is just there. These analytic guys print something out every game. They give it to the players, and that's it. And Xander Bogaerts says that he loves it. Xander Bogaerts says that he loves this. The guesswork is gone. He just looks at this index card, and he's got the answers. And he says that the guy is buying in. The guys are buying in. The only thing right now at this moment that I don't like about analytics is that from a pitcher's standpoint, the scouting reports have gotten so intensive, and you have to be so married to the scouting report that you almost feel like you can't deviate from it. I'm sure some pitchers get some leniency to help call their own game. Some catchers have leniency to call their own game. But by and large, I think a lot of these pitch sequences are coming from the analytics department. Okay, Giancarlo Stanton can't hit fastballs, and he can't hit them up in the zone, so we're going to throw him fastballs up in the zone. But what that does is that takes the pitcher out of his ability to be in his comfort zone. Like, here's what I mean. When I was a senior at Oswego, I had a good changeup. My changeup was my best pitch, and I wanted to throw it all the time. I wanted to overuse it. But my head coach, my new manager, believed that the curveball was more effective than the changeup. And he believed that because, you know, if I throw a changeup to a right-handed batter and it floats back to the middle of the plate, it's going to get crushed. I trusted myself to not do that, but he looked at it and said, well, curveball's better because it's going to break away from the hitter and away from the barrel of his bat, so we're going to use curveballs against right-handed batters for the most part. So he would call curveballs in those situations, and I just would not feel comfortable throwing them because it was not my best pitch. My changeup was my out pitch. It was my go-to pitch. It was my crutch pitch, and that was taken away from me. And I did not like that. But so now in this situation where if we say, yeah, you have to throw that fastball up to Stanton, well, maybe my fastball I don't feel comfortable with that day. Maybe I feel like I've got a great curveball that day. And I still think from a pitcher's standpoint, there is something to be said for what you feel and have confidence in. Because sometimes the wrong pitch thrown with extreme confidence works better than, quote, the right pitch when I don't believe in it. Because I know there were times where I said, really? I'm going into the glove with the curveball grip saying, I just don't trust it. I just don't trust it. I just don't trust it. Why am I throwing this? I want to throw something else. And then what do? You bounce it. You throw it over his head. It gets hung and it gets hit for a double. And you're like, I knew it. I wanted to throw the changeup. That's the only thing I don't like about sabermetrics, that we have to become so tied to the scouting report that it becomes hard to deviate at all and go to what the pitcher is feeling. But where this started was with the Red Sox use of analytics when it came to the defensive shift. And I find it fascinating. I find it fascinating. We go up until Red Sox baseball again at 6:25. It is Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. And if you want to get in, 802-655-6672. Unnamed texter says, it works both ways, Brady. The haters also have scouting reports on the pitchers, and they know which pitch the pitchers feel comfortable with. I'm not sure I understand it. It works both ways. The haters also have scouting reports on the pitchers, and they know which pitch the pitchers feel comfortable. Oh, I get it. So he's saying that the offense has scouting reports on tendencies. That works also, and I love that. I've said that before, too. When I was coaching junior college baseball, we charted every single pitch thrown to us, every single pitch. And that way, by the time the game was going on, we play four-game series against teams. By the time we get to a game two, three of a series, we have tendencies built up. Well, look, when it's 1-0 in the count, this team has thrown a fastball every single pitch this series. So we know 1-0 we're looking for fastballs. Or we know 1-0 this team will throw breaking balls. And we know to lay off those. So you just start building those tendencies. That is what makes baseball so fascinating. It truly is a cat and mouse game back and forth. Again, Champlain Valley Game Night. All right, before we go up to the major leaguers at 6:25, let's talk a little local prep baseball. A name that a lot of you will remember, although it's been out of the public eye locally for a little while now. Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. We've got Theo McDowell. Theo McDowell is an Essex Junction native, played 2 years at South Burlington High School, is finishing up his high school career now at the Salisbury School in Connecticut, a prep school. He has just announced his commitment to play college baseball at West Virginia University. So another local Vermonter going on to doing big things in college. He is a pitcher, has hit as high as 91 miles an hour on the radar gun. Theo McDowell with us now on Champlain Valley Game Night. Theo, how are you?
Good. I'm good. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you joining us, Theo. And as we said, you hit as high as 91 miles an hour. You committed to West Virginia. So start here. Why West Virginia? Why the Mountaineers?
It was a family decision. It was one of the first schools I toured. I went to a bunch of other schools in between, and then I came back, and I kind of just fell in love with it.
What were some of the other schools that you were looking at?
I was looking at Purdue, Cincinnati, Notre Dame, Arizona, a couple of SEC schools. But
so you end up choosing West Virginia. But before that, as we said, you did play your first 2 years of high school ball at South Burlington. Now you're up in Connecticut at the prep school at Salisbury School. It's a story we usually see in hockey. Guy leaves home, goes to a prep school, goes to juniors. What was it like for you? How hard was it to make that decision to leave home early?
It actually wasn't that hard. It was another family decision. We actually ended up saying no at first, but then I kind of slept on it. And I had to kind of pull the trigger. I wanted to challenge myself at the highest level possible. And I think it was right. It changed my life. So it was great.
How did it change your life?
It got me really good exposure. I love Vermont. It's where I grew up. I lived my whole life there. But I just needed a better challenge. I got really good looks from, colleges. I met a lot of good people. And then I kind of got some exposure on an even higher level, which was, that's really cool. So
now when you play in the summers, what's the deal? Because I know prior to leaving, you had played for South Burlington in the Babe Ruth program. I think won a state championship, if I'm not mistaken. Do you get to come back and play home in the summer? How does that work?
Yeah, so in the summers now, in the past summers, I've been playing Babe Ruth and some Legion ball. Sometimes I double up, so like I'm playing baseball like probably like two games a day. I just work out. I kind of just try to stay in shape. I throw about four times a week. I just try to stay in shape for the school year.
Now you are also a middle infielder, but I think at least from what I have read, you're most projectable as a pitcher. Is that something that they have told you is going to be the case in college, or are you going to have an opportunity to do both?
So I'm definitely a pitcher, but in college they always give every player a chance to go two ways. I've played middle infield, I played some outfield too. I got a good bat, so I wonder if they'll let me into the lineup.
Now, I've also heard some people talk about, you were the highest rated prep player in the state of Vermont, even though you're not playing in Vermont right now. I've heard some people say that you are a draft prospect for this year. Is that something that anyone has talked to you about? Is that something that you focus on?
Yeah, it's exciting. I can't really say much about it. No one really knows what's going to happen. But if I get the opportunity, obviously that's a huge blessing, and it'll be exciting to see.
Now, we talked recently with Rain Supple, who's a pitcher from CVU, who's playing at Wake Forest, who was also drafted out of high school. But really, it's a short list of Vermont athletes that get to play at the highest level of Division I or get drafted. What does it mean for you to, one, have a Division I, a Division I commitment, and two, be talked about in a pro light?
It's an honor. It's really cool. I'm just a kid from Vermont, but if you're good, people will find you, and you just got to keep working at it. You got to love the game, put your heart and soul into it, and good things will come out of it.
Theo, we'll get you out of here on this. A question we love to ask people: when you're gone, when you're away at school in Connecticut, what's the thing about Vermont you miss most? Not family and friends, because that goes without saying, but is it a food place? Is it some place in town? What do you miss most?
I go to a little place in Essex Junction. It's right over the Five Corners. It's Martone Sandwiches.
Yeah.
You got those big sandwiches. I used to get them after my games. I love those things. I always need one of those after school or something.
Theo McDowell, he's a South Burlington High School product for 2 years, an Essex Junction native, and now finishing up his high school baseball career at the Salisbury School in Connecticut, just committed to West Virginia. Theo, we appreciate the time. Congratulations on the commitment and a continued success, man. We'll talk to you soon. We look forward to following you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
There he goes, Theo McDowell. We've got to let Theo go because we got to get to those Red Sox lineups, but that's a great story. Another local product done good. Let's get to the Sox and Yankees lineups for Game 2 of the series.
It's almost that time. Baseball is in the air, and the Red Sox are about to take the field. So let's give you the lineups and the pitching matchup right now on your home for Red Sox baseball, 101.3 ESPN.
Pitching matchup in Game 2 of the series, Tanaka for the Yankees, David Price for the Red Sox. Masahiro Tanaka 1-1 with a 2.92, David Price 1-0 with a perfect 0.00 ERA. Lineups for the visiting Yankees, Brett Gardner leads off in center, back of the lineup after taking the day off yesterday. Aaron Judge is in right, Giancarlo Stanton's in left. Didi Gregorius at short, Gary Sanchez the catcher, Neil Walker at first, Tyler Austin the DH, Tyler Wade at second, and Miguel Andujar, he plays third and bats ninth. For the Sox, Mookie Betts is in right, hitting a scorching .435. Rafael Devers hits second and plays third. Hanley Ramirez at the DH. JD Martinez is in left. Mitch Moreland is at first. Eduardo Nunez is at second. Jackie Bradley Jr. in center. Christian Vasquez is the catcher, and Brock Holt is at shortstop. Andrew Benintendi out of the lineup today. That will do it for us. Thanks to our man Riley, who came in and hung out with us in the studio. That was a lot of fun. Thanks to Theo McDowell for joining us. Joe Bowen, voice of the Maple Leafs, talked with us in the huddle, and Buster Olney as well. If you missed any of those, you can find them online at 1013ESPN.com. We will see you tomorrow, everybody. Sox-Yankees Game 2 is next right here on 1013 ESPN.